Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
My brothers and sisters, in light of the events that are taking place in our country today, this today is a difficult message. It's difficult to accept, and for some of us, it's difficult to put into practice. What does the Lord require of you and me? My brothers and sisters, in Micah chapter 6, Micah tells the nation of Israel that the Lord is holding a divine court session in which he is going to hand down indictments against the nation of Israel for their injustices and rebellious ways. God tells Micah to act, Brother Fred, as his attorney, in fact, and ask Micah, the prophet, to plead his case. Because God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, Micah is told in verse 1 to stand up and plead God's case, not only before the nation of Israel, but also before the mountains. And let the hills hear what he has to say. God tells Micah to plead his case to the everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. And he is lodging a charge against them. God tells Micah to ask his people a few simple questions. The simple questions were, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Then Micah, pleading God's case, reminds Israel of what God had done for them. God says through Micah to the nation, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered? Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal? That you may know the righteous acts of the Lord? And after reminding the nation of some of the things that God had done for them, there was no doubt that God had been good to his people. Even though they oftentimes operated in rebellion, God still looked after them. God still protected them. And God still delivered them. the questions, what have I done to you and how have I burdened you, were relevant questions. And the nation could not legitimately level any indictments against God and his character. So Micah, as God's mouthpiece to the nation, tells them in verse 8 that God has already shown them what he wanted from them. Micah lets them know that offering sacrifices to God alone are not enough. Calves and rams offered as a burnt offering were not enough. The offerings of rivers of olive oil were not enough. Even if the nation of Israel gave their firstborn, guess what? It's not enough. Micah says to the nation, and what does the Lord require of you? Micah identifies three things that God required from his children. First of all, God requires his children to act justly. Tell your neighbor to act justly. This means to do the right thing. Reverend Jones, Spike Lee came out with a movie several years ago entitled Do the Right Thing. Listen, Micah already tells the nation of Israel that the Lord has already shown them what is good. There was no excuse for them not to do the right thing. Just like for those of us who are saved and have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we too cannot make excuses for willfully doing wrong. God expects us to live up to what we already know. And what do we already know? We know that God requires us to live holy lives. Oh, yeah. You hear that? You hear that little pitter-pat? Because we don't want to talk about living a holy life. We want to do the, it's your thing, do what you want to do, and it's going to be all right with God. But not so. To act justly implies that a decision has been made. Moses in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 28 says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Moses tells the children of Israel that they have to make a decision to act justly. They have to choose to do the right thing. Now, to act justly also requires an ongoing commitment to do the right thing no matter the consequences. Commitment to doing the right thing always disallows for situational ethics. When one is committed to doing the right thing, he or she will do it no matter what someone thinks, no matter what someone wants, says, or does. He or she will do the right thing even if it means persecution or retribution. But you know, these days people have a warped sense of what's right. How can you spew racist things out of your mouth?
All right.
And inequality, and think as a believer you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. That's right.
Can I get in trouble? I have discovered that there are three types of theology. There is a theology that our white brothers believe. There is a theology that our black brothers and sisters believe. But then the third one is the right one, is what the Bible says. And I don't know about you, I want to be on the Bible's team. I want to say what the Bible says, because the Bible is right. Some of our interpretations are wrong, but God's word is right by itself. God says, if you're my children, you are required to act justly. What else does God require of his children? It's right there in the text. He said to act justly. But then he said, to love mercy. The second thing that God requires of his children is that we love mercy. The Hebrew word that Micah uses here, that is translated and used variously as mercy, it also means tender mercies, loving kindness, and steadfast love. Notice with me that the requirement here in this verse is not that we have mercy, but the requirement is that we love mercy. And the only way that we can love mercy is through the love of Christ, which is given to his children. When you and I love mercy, we understand that God requires us to demonstrate toward others the same kind of love that we want for ourselves. The Bible teaches us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And when we love mercy, We understand that God expects us to extend the same forgiveness toward others that we want for ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But, tell your neighbor, there's a but to it. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but I thank God for divine and human mercy. Divine mercy is shown to us each and every morning. Every morning we wake up to new mercies. That's why the psalmist wrote, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. And thy compassions, they fail not. Thou who has been and forever will be. And then the refrain, he said, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I've seen. All that I needed, thy hands hath provided. Great. Tell your neighbor, great is God's faithfulness unto us. Listen to me good. Human mercy is experienced when you have wronged somebody, yet they forgive you and no longer hold the trespass against you. Man, in my 65 years of living, I have done some things to some people that I know I did not deserve for that person to forgive me. But I thank God that he put it in their heart to forgive me in spite of what I did. Anybody in here admit I've done some things, I've said some things? I've hurt some people, but they forgave me. So if they can forgive me, why can't I forgive you? Wow. I'm closing. What does God require of his children? Lastly and finally, God requires his children to walk humbly with him. To walk humbly with your God implies, check this out, it implies that both parties have to be going in the same direction. If I'm going to walk with God, we got to be going in the same direction. You and I will never learn to walk with God until we know which way God is going. And guess what? God does not change his course to follow us. We change our course to follow him. You know why? Because our steps, man's steps, lead downward. But God's steps lead upward. That's why we must be humble and allow him to lead us. To walk humbly with your God implies not only that both parties are going in the same direction, but it also implies that both parties are moving at the same pace. In order for us to walk humbly with our God, we must match his pace. We are never to walk or run ahead of him. Nor should we fall way behind him. We must keep in step with our God. And finally, to walk humbly with our God implies that both parties must be going under the same power. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Is this too deep? Is this too deep? Since God is operating under spiritual power, the only way for you and I to walk humbly with him is to operate under the same power. And I am so glad that before Jesus left the confines of earth, he told his disciples that I must go away. But I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you powerless. I'm going to send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive power. Once the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. In other words, God is saying, my power and my presence will be with you. And you will be able to walk with me and the Father. And my brothers and sisters, there is nothing better in this life for us other than to walk with God. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God allows me the privilege to walk with him. He walks with me through the good times. He walks with me through the difficult days of life. He walks with me to protect me from the attacks of the enemy. He walks with me to provide for all of my needs. He walks with me to heal my body of sickness and disease. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad that God walks with me. And the best news is this: God's presence is not just surrounding me, but his presence is on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And his power is in the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit assures me that I'm never, no, never, no, never walking alone. To echo the words of the hymnologist, he said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears. This is what I like. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy, I said the joy, anybody got joy, the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Hallelujah. What does God require of you and me? He requires, he mandates that we act justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with him.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.